I just moved into the parsonage at Beverly Drive United Methodist Church in Wichita Falls. This was way over 10 years ago. Gosh, it was 14 years ago now. And time flies. It's just amazing. Mother says it gets worse. I don't see how that's possible. Anyway, just moved in, and all my stuff was still in boxes, and I was feeling all discombobulated. So Mom and Dad came up to help me unpack, and so they were helping me putting my stuff up on the walls and in the bookcases and taking my stuff out of the boxes and putting them in my drawers and in my closets, and helping me putting my stuff up was taking a lot of time, and we were having a good time together, chatting and talking and remembering, and it was just a wonderful time together. And about three quarters of the way through the job of getting my stuff unpacked, suddenly I heard at the door, I thought to myself, oh good, I get a chance to meet some of my church members, my first chance to meet some of my church members. So I go to the door and I open the door, and standing at the door was a guy in dark pants, white shirt, and tie. Now, you know who this is. And this fella stands there, and he looks at me, and he says, have you found Jesus? Now, you all know that sometimes there's just a little nasty little demon inside of me, and I just couldn't let this chance go. So I turned around, and I hollered out, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, there's a fella here who's lost Jesus. Have you found him? And I turned back around, and the kid was gone. People like that drive me crazy. Have you found Jesus? Do you know Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior? You know, when they ask that question, Jesus usually ends up, you know, having multiple syllables, like, Jesus, have you been saved? And, you know, when they start to preach in at you, and it's preaching at you, they love to take the Bibles that have, you know, leather boundaries and floppability, so they can shake it in your face. Do you know Jesus? Have you found Jesus? Do you know Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior? Ooh. They give me the squinchies. I mean, that's, ugh. Get away. Fast. Oh, my brothers and sisters, why have we allowed our evangelical brothers and sisters to rob us of some of the most wonderful theological messages to come from Scripture, like salvation? When I hear the word saved, it makes me shudder, because I know what they usually mean. It means that, in their estimation, I'm a dirty, rotten, stinking scoundrel of a sinner. I need to repent. People in one of my congregations back in North Carolina when I was in seminary asked me, why don't you preach fire and brimstone sermons, Greg? Why don't you preach about hell and damnation? If I were to preach that kind of a message, I'm afraid the people who asked me that question wouldn't like how it was being preached and who I was preaching about. Salvation. Saved. Are you saved? Have you found Jesus? As if Jesus is lost. Better yet, not have you found Jesus, but has Jesus found you? That's a better question. Saved. That's a powerful word in the New Testament. It's the short words that give us trouble. The long words are easy. You can define long words precisely. It's those short words that are slippery, that get out of your fingers like a little watermelon seed, and it's gone. And one of the shortest words in the New Testament that's the most slippery is the word for saved. Sozo. And that's easy. It's S-O-S-O. Sozo. Say that with me. Sozo. Sozo. And it means saved. It means healed, delivered, made one, rescued, made whole, protected, made perfect. In the picture, it has lots of meanings that seem to orbit around the same kind of idea: salvation, redemption, protection, deliverance, and healing, wholeness, at-one-ment. This word sozo is so slippery, and yet it's so very important, and we have seeded it, unfortunately, given it away, because we're afraid of implications in its use. And yet, we should be able to reappropriate. I love to reappropriate words and concepts that have been stolen and perverted. This is one of them. What truly does it mean to be saved? What truly does it mean to be saved? If you heard some of those words that I used in translating sozo, you know that salvation has both a spiritual context and a physical context. You cannot separate the two. Jesus couldn't separate the two. He would often heal by forgiving, and he would often forgive by healing. The whole essence of salvation is forgiveness and healing together. Forgiveness and healing as one event. Forgiveness and healing as a totality. The proclamation is, we are separated. We have divided. We have ripped ourselves asunder from each other and from God. We heard that proclaimed in the message today that the choir sang so beautifully. And can you hear the prayers of the children? Torn asunder by war, violence, and hatred. The message of salvation is, yes, God can hear the prayer of the children. God does hear the prayer of the children. We hear the prayer of the children. The essence of salvation is, we hear, God hears the prayer, and then we, acting as the body of Christ in a broken and hurting world, reach out in faith and act in faith to bring healing and wholeness, belonging, forgiveness, inclusion in the family of God. That's one of those meanings of the word sozo, by the way. Inclusion. Inclusion. To be included in is to be brought into, surrounded by, protected by, encompassed by, saved by, rescued by, delivered by, held close by the arms of Jesus. Salvation is about being in the very real presence of Jesus Christ. Now, I've been here going on 3 years. In fact, I'll finish my third year here in June. And I have preached repeated messages on the essence and nature of the real presence of Jesus. I've spoken about Jesus' real presence in the family of faith, in our praying together, in our hearing the scriptures read together, in our study of the scriptures together, in our service together, reaching out to a broken and hurting world, in our giving together, in our singing together, in our fellowshipping together. We, in these means of grace, are experiencing the real presence of Jesus in our midst, the healing presence of Jesus, the transforming presence of Jesus. Yes, that's another meaning of the word sozo. Not just forgiveness, not just salvation, not just healing, but also transformation. All of the means of grace bring sozo, bring salvation. Holy Communion, the penultimate means of grace, through which we receive the real presence of Jesus, which transforms us and transubstantiates us into the real presence of Christ for this broken and hurting world. Yes, the word salvation is a biblical word, sozo, and we are called to reappropriate it for ourselves and to proclaim it, that salvation comes in living a life that is in accord with the will of God, the calling of God, the grace of God, and the presence of Jesus. Paul speaks about that in the letter to the Romans today. I could have preached on multiple different pieces of the passage from Romans 10, 5 through 13, but the part that really gripped me was this one. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Okay, I got to stop right there. No distinction between Jew and Greek. In the ancient world, in the New Testament church, they were constantly trying to make distinctions between Jews and Gentiles, between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And the Jewish Christians were looking at the Gentile Christians and saying, "Ooh, you eat pork, you smell, ooh, stay away." And the Gentile Christians were looking at the Jewish Christians and saying, "Ooh, you eat strange food, you cook it weird, you wear weird clothing, ooh, stay away." Even in the New Testament church, they were dividing themselves up and making distinctions and saying, "God really won't hear your prayers unless you do this." And it sounds familiar, doesn't it? Unless you do this and you don't do that. Paul here is blowing that away. "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all." Let's try several different translations here. "The same boss is boss of all. The same ruler is ruler of all. The same leader is leader of all. The same supervisor is supervisor of all. The same superintendent is superintendent of all. The same bishop is bishop of all. The same guide is guide of all. The same friend is friend of all. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him." Now, some people don't like it when Paul gets rather black and white, rather extremist. Here, it's really good. You notice he says, no distinction, same Lord, Lord of all, and generous to all. He's not generous just to some. God isn't generous just to those people who look and smell and act a certain way that usually the prevailing culture wants them to act. No. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. Here Paul goes, getting exclusivist again. "For everyone." Wow, that sounds inclusivist to me. "For everyone." For everyone, not some. Not these here, but not them over there. "But everyone, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everyone, without distinction, who calls on the name of the Lord, who calls on their ruler, on their guide, on their friend, on their superintendent, on their shepherd, on their God. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall, not may, shall be saved. Shall be rescued, shall be delivered, shall be encompassed, included, collected. That's another concept of the meaning of sozo. To be collected from being thrown asunder and astray. To be collected in, gathered in, welcomed in. Healed, transformed, comforted. Sozo. All those, everyone, without distinction. Without distinction, neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, to quote Paul in Galatians, neither Jew nor Greek, white nor black, American or Mexican, male or female, heterosexual or homosexual, rich or poor, English speaker or not, matters not. All, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We, my sisters and brothers, are called to open the doors wide to all, to invite all to come into the family of God, to kneel at the table and receive the means of grace, be transformed into the likeness of Christ yet again and anew, repeatedly, so that we as the people of God, inclusive of all, may go out and proclaim that good news to all. In Lent, we're so frequently focusing inward on ourselves and our relationship with Jesus. That's good. But I'm prayerful this Lent that we will also focus outward on the needs of all to hear the good news and receive the good news, that all are welcome, that all are called. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God makes no distinctions, my friends. God calls all. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on Him. We serve a generous God. A generous God who gave Jesus Christ that we might never fear death, that we might never fear God, that we might never fear eternity, that we might truly reach out with the good news of salvation to all. Reappropriate that word. Use it for yourself. Realize in one of those synonyms that Jesus has called you, delivered you, healed you, included you, transformed you, loved you, encompassed you, preserved you, protected you, overshadowed you. Jesus has saved you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.